May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mark's gospel is a particularly energetic and action-packed narrative of Jesus' earthly ministry. Mark constantly uses the adverb euthys, which means immediately, or right away, or at once. The first chapter alone is filled with incident. The very first verse cuts to the chase and tells us who Jesus is and what the story is about. It reads, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Then, or immediately, we read about the coming of John the Baptist, who announces the coming of the Christ as he begins a ministry of baptism at the Jordan River. Next, we read that Jesus came to be baptized by John, and that as soon as Jesus emerged from the water, the Father proclaimed, "You are my Son, whom I love." This is now the second time that we are told that Jesus is the Son of God. After his baptism, we are told that the Spirit sent Jesus into the Judean desert, where he fasted and was tested for 40 days. Then Jesus went north to Galilee and began a ministry of preaching as he proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God and called on the people to repent and believe the good news. Next, we read that Jesus called the first disciples, Andrew and Simon and James and John, and they went to Capernaum, a village on the Sea of Galilee, which would be the base from which Jesus would conduct his public ministry. And at this point in the story, we are only halfway through chapter 1. And we have come to the beginning of this morning's gospel reading, which is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Some years ago, Judith and I and other members of our parish took place in a diocesan pilgrimage and study trip to the Holy Land. A highlight of that trip was a visit to Capernaum, Jesus' base on the Sea of Galilee, where the events of this morning's gospel story took place. One of the amazing things you can see there in Capernaum is Peter's house. There is a beautiful church that rests on top of earlier churches, which rest on top of a first century dwelling place or house, which would have been typical of a fisherman's home at the time of our Lord. The house appears to have been transformed into a domus ecclesiae, a house church, at a very early time, and it is indeed likely that the tradition that this is Peter's house is true. You can also see the remains of a synagogue, a Jewish public place of prayer, which was used from the 2nd until the 5th centuries. The remains of that synagogue rest on top of the foundation and remains of a 1st century synagogue, which would have been the very building in which the events of this morning's gospel reading took place. It's a deeply moving experience to stand in such a place, and to know that you are truly walking in the footsteps of Jesus. If you're interested in seeing a picture of that synagogue in Capernaum, the December 2017 issue of the National Geographic magazine has such a picture in their excellent cover story, "What Archaeology Reveals About the Life of Jesus." Now, beginning at Mark 1, verse 21, we read that Jesus began his Capernaum ministry on a Sabbath day, in which he was invited to teach at the Capernaum synagogue. We read that the people were amazed at his teaching, because he preached with exousia, which means authority. The people were used to the imposed official authority of the scribes, whose teachings, based exclusively on the citations of earlier teachers, would be filled with phrases such as, "Rabbi so-and-so said this," and "Rabbi so-and-so said that." But the teaching of Jesus was different. His proclamation of the kingdom of God and his teaching of Scripture came directly from him with a directness power, and authenticity, which was different from anything the people had heard before. Jesus' listeners were amazed at the authority of his teaching. And just imagine their even greater amazement when Jesus demonstrated his authority through action. In verse 23, we read that a man in the synagogue, possessed by an evil or unclean spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And note that for the third time in Mark chapter 1, Jesus' identity is proclaimed. But this time, it is proclaimed by an enemy. For Jesus is engaged in a struggle with the forces of evil, the evil whose goal is to enslave humanity and all creation. For the clear teaching of Scripture is that there are forces in the universe which have turned against the living God and who do not wish us well. These powers are acknowledged in the baptismal service of the Book of Alternative Services, when we ask those being baptized or their sponsors, "Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?" In the Book of Common Prayer, those being baptized and their sponsors promise that they renounce the devil and all his works. The forces of evil recognize the healing and freeing power of Jesus' teaching, and they fear it, because they know that they are in the presence of one far more powerful than they. Now Jesus demonstrates his utter authority over the forces of evil, and he demonstrates his utter compassion for humanity when enslaved by such evil. He says firmly, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. We see here Jesus' authority over the forces of evil, and we see here Jesus' compassion for one who is affected or enslaved by evil. And he frees that one. He heals that one. And the people are even more amazed. They are astonished, for here authority is not only a spoken authority, but a demonstrated authority over those powers which desire to diminish, enslave, or dehumanize God's people. In verse 27, we read that the people asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." Jesus demonstrates two kinds of authority here. First, there is the authority of God's Word, spoken through the One who is the living Word. Secondly, there is the demonstrated authority of God's healing power through Jesus' actions. These two forms of authority, that of Word and that of action, are experienced whenever we, as the Church, gather as we do this morning for the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, writings which all point toward Christ Jesus, find their fulfillment in Him, and they are read and proclaimed, as we've been doing. We have read from Scripture, we have chanted psalms, and now the Scriptures are proclaimed from the pulpit. The authority of the Scriptures and of the preaching is ultimately the authority of Christ. And this is why pulpits in Anglican churches such as ours often have a crucifix displayed, like this one. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's there to remind the congregation, and especially the preacher, of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified." That is the authority of the Word. The second form of authority, that of healing and life-giving action, is demonstrated in the offering and reception of the Eucharist, in which we appropriate our salvation in Christ Jesus through his body and blood in the consecrated bread and wine of the sacrament. For it is in the sacramental worship of the church that we validate and enact the proclamation of the word. There is a sense in which whenever we gather for the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, we also gather in the synagogue in Capernaum, experiencing Christ's authority in the words of Scripture and in his powerful and healing action. And the action takes many forms, of course, whether it's the collecting of socks, whether it's in greeting one another at the peace, but there is a sacramental action, a powerful sacramental action in Eucharist in which we reenact God's saving actions for us through Christ. Now, this morning's gospel reading ends in verse 28 with a statement that news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The news of what had happened went everywhere. The news of what had happened in that small synagogue in Capernaum. The news spread, and here we are still talking about it. But that news ignited fear and bitter opposition. For Jesus' authority and healing power were indeed a threat to both the supernatural powers of evil and the political powers of the natural world. The fact that news about him began to spread rapidly set Jesus, right from the beginning of Mark's gospel, on a trajectory which, before the end of that gospel, would lead him to the cross. For it will be on the cross that the authority he proclaimed and demonstrated in the Capernaum synagogue would complete its saving work. Thanks be to God for the saving authority of Christ Jesus, revealed to us and all God's people through word and sacrament. Alleluia.